right, welcome back to the Nerd Podcast. If this is your first time joining us, that's Never Ending Retro Dialogue, where we talk about nerd stuff. I'm your host, Jordan.
And I'm Doug.
And I just wanted to let everybody know that we are sitting in the newly decorated Nerd Loft. The art is on the wall.
The art is on the wall. I just have four more pieces to put up. But yes, it's starting to get its old mojo back.
Right. Yes. There's some really cool... We'll take some pictures. There's some really cool art up here. We do want to give a shout-out to... I'm pretty sure Michael Nino will be listening.
Yes.
So we want to give a shout-out to Michael Nino because we've got some of your art up on the walls.
Yes, I have a Nino wall. So it can stand some more. So I'll have to keep my eyes open, sir.
Yeah, so today is not a dream. Not a fantasy.
Oh,
not
no.
Not an imaginary tale.
Oh, my gosh. Can't wait for this one.
But we're going to talk about cartoons
today.
Specifically,
cartoons before 1980.
So we should say that at some point, we're going to hit the big ones from the 80s.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Have no fear.
Have no fear. They will be here.
Yes.
But today, we're going to focus on stuff that came before the 80s, and we're just going to have fun because there's a lot of really cool cartoons
that came before the 80s. Dare I say, this probably won't be the only episode we ever do on cartoons before the 1980s.
Right. There will probably be, I mean, I imagine there will be a Hanna-Barbera special.
Oh, has to be. Has to do just, yes, absolutely. This is my wheelhouse, as my wife said the other day, you know, being a Gen Xer, you know, sitting on the floor Saturday mornings watching the cartoons and just... You know, any time they were on, just sitting there watching them, you know, Looney Tunes and Tom and Jerry and all them. And I was lucky enough to be there when Boomerang and Cartoon Network, you know, started out of thin air. And so, yeah, that's just, this is going to be a good one.
Yeah, so this is kind of the golden age of Saturday morning cartoons, right?
Yes, you know, or just, you know, some old dude just reminiscing about things that he loved when he was a kid. However you want to look at it.
I'm there with you. I wasn't there when they were on, but like you said, because of Boomerang, I got exposed to a lot of these, and then because of the internet and because of the library.
Oh, yeah. And the advent of digital video and whatnot. So, and I think, look, I was strolling through YouTube the other day, and there's actually I think it was called a WB Kids channel, and they were running just tons of Looney Tune cartoons through there. And because it's Halloween time, maybe not when this airs, but when we're making it, they're just doing all the old classic Bugs Bunny with Witch Hazel and Gossamer. And so it just good time fun.
Yeah. So what are your fond memories of golden era Saturday morning cartoons? Did you do the whole sit in front of the TV with the cereal?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you had, like, what was it, Looney Tune Hour? There was always a big block of Looney Tunes. And for the briefest of moments, there was a Godzilla cartoon.
Oh, that's right.
With, oh my gosh, what was the little baby Godzuka? Godzuki?
Was it? Oh, okay.
Was that what it was called?
I thought it was Manila or something in the movies. But
my gosh. Anywho.
That sounds right.
I can remember being absolutely devastated when there were no more of those to come on. Anywho, but yes, so, you know, the Looney Tunes, I'd watch all those. And then Speed Buggy, you had Quick Draw McGraw, you had Huckleberry Hound, the Tom and Jerry's, you had all those that you would sit there and watch. And of course, you had the more modern cartoons. What was it? There was one with a talking shark.
Jabberjaw.
Yep. Yeah, those. The Perils of Penelope.
Pit Stop.
Yep. The Wacky Races. Those were all great. So yeah, just all those. And I would just, I mean, just literally just sit in front of the TV the whole time.
Yeah, I think my exposure was quite different because mine was through Boomerang mostly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know Boomerang, it's a classic. It's an affiliate of Cartoon Network where they show classic cartoons. I don't know if it's around anymore.
You know what? I don't know if it is or not. I tell you what, they don't show the same. If it is, I know towards the end, they were not showing the same stuff they used to.
Yeah, they showed more like late 90s and early 2000s stuff, but when I was a kid, they showed a lot of the 60s and 70s, and they would have these commercials where they would make, like, news shorts for Quick Draw McGraw. The reason I remember Jabberjaw is because they had, like, a music video for Jabberjaw. So they would make kind of news shorts, and I would be introduced to them that way, so...
So is that where you fell in love with Hong Kong Phooey too?
Yeah, so Boomerang was would play Hong Kong Phooey at midnight.
Yeah.
I would stay up till midnight to watch Hong Kong Phooey. Now I own it on DVD, so I don't need to stay up, because midnight's getting pretty hard to reach these days. But
just wait another 15
years. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. So do you have, I mean, obviously, look, you know, when we talk about the cartoons pre-80, you've got the Jetsons, you know, obviously a classic. You got Flintstones, you got Pixie and Dixie and Jinx the Cat.
Yeah,
you know, and then of course the Looney Tunes, which, you know, so it was funny. I can remember my mind being blown when I realized that the Looney Tunes, I thought the Looney Tunes were, that was just new right then.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, you know, I'm a kid. I didn't know. I'm just, when I found out that they were from like the 40s, the 50s, it's like, what in the world? And, you know, Tom and Jerry's the same thing. Yep. I mean, they started, I think, in the 50s as well, or early 60s. I'd have to look that up. Someone will correct me if I'm wrong. But I mean, you know, a lot of this stuff, you know, they were just recycling for a new age.
Yeah.
You know, new set of kids, which, you know, is fine by me. And it's kind of sad because I don't know. I mean, unless you go online, YouTube or other streaming services, I know it's more widely available, but it, I don't know. It just doesn't seem to hit the same because I had to watch whatever came on. That's what it was. And now you can literally just pick and choose. So you might miss out on some of the really cool stuff.
Yeah, I think the whole thing with Saturday morning cartoons was it was a time and a place.
Yeah.
You had to be there, so that's why you're going to remember it. And you get up and you eat the... You know, one time at the library, I actually tried to do a Saturday morning cartoon program where we got there and we ate cereal and we watched old cartoons, but it wasn't very popular because I guess kids these days, if I can say that, aren't super into... I guess they're more into being able to watch it whenever and wherever they want.
Sure.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
I love that, but there was something about being there
for Saturday morning. Yes, yeah. The downside to that is then you don't get that experience.
Yeah.
So, obviously, Looney Tunes are my favorite. I absolutely love Looney Tunes. But, you know, you and I talked about this. One of my absolute favorite zany ones were the Tex Avery
cartoons. Tex Avery.
When you start talking about Droopy, and then you had that, the one... Wolf or whatever dude he was. I mean, those Tex Avery cartoons were just bonkers.
Well, I think it's funny because Tex Avery was doing stuff from like the 30s on, right?
Yeah.
And we kind of look back at the past and we kind of think of it as like if I can quote Evil Dead or Army of Darkness, we kind of look at the past as primitive screwheads, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And we go back to everything was all whatever in the 30s. There was no... But people put a lot of work into this animation. Like, they really did. Like, and Tex Avery, Chuck Jones, those guys were, like, revolutionaries. But we never think... We could just think of the past as a simple time where they had simple cartoons, but it was like they were trailblazing in the 30s and 40s.
Oh, yeah. The stuff that they were doing that they could get away with doing in cartoons that you couldn't do in live action. So do you have a favorite? Is there a go-to for you?
Well, I have a whole list of stuff here
that
we can talk about. The first one, if you want to know my go-to, it is Hong Kong Phooey.
Okay.
Scott Scatman Carruthers in it, and he was also the voice of Jazz in the Transformers, so I knew him from that. It's kind of checks my boxes. It's got a masked superhero. It's got kung fu. It's got comedy.
Yeah.
And it's very simply drawn. And so all these things are my go-to. So like I said, I was probably... I don't know how old I was, but I was... They used to do... Boomerang used to do all these different shows at midnight. So they would run through complete runs. So every night at midnight, it would be a new episode of something. And of the same show, and then they would go to a new show. So one day I'm flipping through, and Hong Kong Phooey's on, and I'm like, this is goofy. I love it. And also it helps that his color scheme is like red and orange, because those are my favorite colors. So growing up, it would catch my eye as I was flipping through the channels. Now, the only unfortunate thing about Hong Kong Phooey is that it didn't last very long. I don't know how many episodes it got, but, I mean, a lot of these Hanna-Barbera shows lasted a lot shorter than I thought they did.
Oh, right. They were just cranking them out, and then, okay, we're done, we're doing this. Or it didn't hit, and we're going on.
Now, there was footage, I think, going around in the early 2000s or mid-2000s of a Hong Kong Phooey movie that they were going to make.
Oh.
With Eddie Murphy as Hong Kong Phooey.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the test footage didn't go over very well because it's 2022 and we still don't have a Hong Kong Phooey movie.
That is sad. It'd be kind of cool if you know how, like, Who Framed Roger Rabbit brought together this whole universe of Warner Brothers and Disney? Why couldn't we do, like, this Hanna-Barbera?
Oh, like a shared universe.
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, that would be great.
Do a movie where you're just kind of skating through all of them.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Because searching through, trying to find some cartoons that I remember but maybe didn't watch all the time, or I forgot I used to watch them, so I came across Hanna-Barbera. That's going to be kind of a common theme with this, is Johnny Quest. Mm. So the original started in the mid-60s.
Yes.
And I just remember that being really cool because you've got this young kid that, you know, is going on these adventures with his dad and whatnot. And it was just, and then he'd be on his own.
Right.
And so it was just really cool to see that because it wasn't cartoon animals.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, in my young kid's eyes, far-fetched.
Right.
It was, right? It was... Wow, this could happen.
Yeah, it was,
you know,
a more serious cartoon.
Yeah.
The reason that I remember Johnny Quest is Race Bannon.
Oh, yes.
I loved Race. He was basically Indiana Jones to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to open up here emotionally.
Oh, boy.
Because as a kid, I had a Race Bannon toy, and my brother destroyed it one day. And to this day, I still begrudge him for that. Now, he doesn't know that, but now he will know that.
I was going to say, it is out there.
It's out there.
In the ether.
John, you owe me a Race Bannon action figure.
Let's get on it, John. Come on.
So,
golly.
But yeah, and Johnny Quest had like a pretty cool theme music, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
That's one thing I want to talk about before I forget. Go on YouTube and look up Saturday Morning Cartoons 90s covers, I guess. There's an album that they put out in the 90s called Saturday Morning Cartoons, and it was all these like not pop bands. I guess they're more punk bands of the 90s.
Yes.
And they would cover the theme songs of all these. They weren't all punk bands, but they were all popular bands in the 90s. And they would cover the theme songs for the Saturday Morning Cartoons. Now, I own this on cassette because I'm a hipster a little bit. But also because I wanted to encapsulate the 90s feel of it. I wanted it to be the 90s version.
Yeah.
So if you can go on YouTube, they have versions of, like, Sublime does Hong Kong Phooey, and there's, like, Josie and the Pussycats, Gigantor. All these great themes are covered. So you can find it on YouTube pretty easily. I think you just have to search 90s cover of Saturday Morning Cartoons, because the thing is just called Saturday Morning Cartoons. But it is fantastic. So I just wanted to plug that before I forgot, because the songs are going to be stuck in your head all day.
I think... Didn't a mutual friend of ours have that on CD?
Somebody did, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's... You know who you are. You let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so, kind of going with the theme of not realizing these cartoons were not new for me.
Right.
I'll do a rapid fire here. I already mentioned Johnny Quest. Herculoids.
Yes.
Love the Herculoids. Another one from the 60s. Absolutely great. You just wonder when you see some of these cartoons, what in the world, were they smoking something?
Yeah, I was just wondering that because it is the 60s.
Yeah.
It's a time of change.
Yeah. You've got Free Love, the Hippies.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Free Love, Hippies, and Herculoids.
Oh, and there you go.
That rolled up a whole decade.
Man.
Rolled up a whole decade.
Rolled up. Hey, now. Space Ghost was
Space
another
Ghost.
One. And obviously he got the Coast to Coast treatment on Cartoon Network, where, you know, they kind of did some more things with him. And he's actually been featured in some more recent comics.
Yeah, that's true.
They did a Space Ghost Green Lantern crossover 3 years ago?
Something
like that. Absolutely great read. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So it's neat to see him still kind of pop up. I think it helps that you've got some of these creators, because I know anyone that watches Family Guy, I know that's after 1980, but to prove my point, Seth MacFarlane has put in a lot of, like, Herculoid jokes.
Yeah.
You know, he's used them a few times. So obviously you get people of a certain age, and now they're creating things, and they pay homage to their influences. But yeah, oh my gosh, Herculoid's great. Space Ghost
and the Galaxy Trio was what
Galaxy
was
Trio.
With.
Yep.
But yeah, so it is interesting because we've talked before about putting the things that influence you into your work a little bit.
Yeah.
We've talked about that, and I do that all the time. And so because of the internet, my influences are decades old.
Oh,
to
sure.
Just yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I think, like, I've drawn a lot of Hong Kong Fooey for, like, Inktober and stuff, and
mm-hmm.
and I don't know. I think I had some ideas for, like, Johnny Quest type stories,
yeah.
And stuff that was clearly inspired by Johnny Quest and Race Bean and everything. So yeah, it's interesting to see the people who are like you were watching them and on the TV eating their cereal, and now it's like, oh, they're still kind of around. They're not as prevalent as.
No.
80s cartoons, but.
No. But you still find, obviously, Tom and Jerry's.
Yeah.
You know, they're still doing things. Didn't they just do
they
a
just
Tom
made
and
a
Jerry
movie, yeah.
movie? Yeah. And obviously, Looney Tunes are still, you know, heavily watched.
Right.
Who else? I mean, the Flintstones still get treatments. I mean, Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo. Probably the most. Well, Looney Tunes is probably has more longevity, but Scooby-Doo, I think, is more. Consistently there. Because Looney Tunes is like, every now and then they'll have a new project, where
yes.
Scooby-Doo seems like every year they have a new movie.
Oh, yeah.
They have a new show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was going to talk about Scooby-Doo staying power. And I don't. What do you think is the key to that? Because that's the one. Because that's a Hanna-Barbera one that only lasted for three. I mean, it lasted for three seasons, I think.
Yeah, but look at all the different things they did.
You but had, now, yeah.
Yeah. You had the Scooby-Doo. And it's hard to, for me, without looking at it, where the different runs all fit in, right?
Yeah.
And because you had the original Scooby-Doo mysteries, right? And
yeah.
then you had the Scooby-Doo team-ups.
Right.
Where, you know, Scooby-Doo's with Batman, Scooby-Doo's with the Harlem Globetrotters, and they're all these different characters. I think they were with Don Knotts.
I think so, yeah.
At one point. So you just, I know that was a separate thing. And then they did, like, a reboot, and then they had... Then they did the whole crappy thing with Scrappy-Doo. Sorry if you like Scrappy-Doo, but I do not. I wish I could put a finger on it. One, they're fun, right? You have that little spooky thing, but they're hilarious. They've got, you know, they check a lot of the boxes as
right.
you're talking about. You know, it's always great to have a talking dog.
Right, that's popular.
I just think... The formula for Scooby-Doo, it's just, it works on so many levels, and it still works today. I think it's kind of one of those timeless formulas
yeah.
that you've, it's not super scary, but it's, you know, you get the ghouls and ghosts, and obviously for different treatments, they've gotten a little bit more this way or
yeah.
that way. And man, you know, maybe it helps if you're munching on some Scooby snacks while you're watching it. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we love Scooby in this house. I mean,
yeah,
we own a lot of them on DVD, and we watch a lot of the movies.
I think there's appeal because, one, Scooby and Shaggy are cowardly. And so it's kind of in that situation where they have to face their fears every episode or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or not, and they solve it anyway. So it's like you've got that interesting twist on the characters. I think there's always room for teenagers on TV
mm-hmm.
because younger people, when you're watching it, you want, I think, because like if you're reading something and you're a bit younger, you want to read up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the same for TV. But also... there's always going to be mysteries, and there's always going to be monsters, and I think that's what people like, is the monsters.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I'm going to do a plug for two things.
Okay.
One, Scooby-Doo Team-Up, the comic book, shows the lasting power of Scooby-Doo, because this was just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it ran for 50 issues, and they teamed up with all sorts of DC superheroes. Definitely give it a read. It's by Sholly Fish. And then two, I wanted to talk about the movie Scooby-Doo and the Blue Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably my favorite Scooby-Doo movie because it's as close as we're coming so far to that shared universe that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because they go to... So basically the plot is there is... So do you remember Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt?
Yes.
So basically Dino Mutt and Blue Falcon had an old TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And in this movie, it's getting rebooted to be a dark and gritty movie. And the original one, who's basically Adam West, is suspected as trying to stop it from happening. But the cool thing is, they go to this convention and you get all of these costumes and, like, Easter eggs and homage to all the Hanna-Barbera stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get the chance to watch that one, definitely do. Because, I mean, they even have, like, Frankenstein Jr. and the Impossibles in that movie. They're not in it, but they're people dressed as
them. Yeah.
So definitely, if you want to watch something that's kind of brings all your love for... Because I didn't think they'd be able to outdo Zombie Island.
Yeah.
But the sheer amount of fan service, I guess, is what got me on this one. But that's not from the 70s, so I digress.
Yeah. Way to go. You've ruined the illusion.
I quantum leaped to the future. But yeah, Scooby-Doo is like the one that's on this list that is just so prevalent and so popular. I just wonder.
Well, I mean, it just goes to show, if you got the right people behind it,
yeah,
that know how to treat the material, that you can always just hit it out of the park with it.
Yeah.
And the fact that they've been able to do live action with it, and those were fairly entertaining as well.
Yeah. Very well casted.
Yeah. But again, those aren't from before the 1980s. Right, right. So.
Sorry. Well, that's the problem with Scooby-Doo, is it takes you to the future.
Well, you know, and so many of them, right? Yeah. I mean, you could talk about the Peanuts, you could talk about, obviously, Looney Tunes and all of them. Yeah. I mean, the ones that are timeless, you know, are just going to kind of span, which is what makes them great.
Yeah. The other one that has longevity is Looney Tunes, because that's been around for even longer than Scooby-Doo. The thing about Looney Tunes, though, is that it hasn't had quite as much a presence, I don't think, in terms of, like, almost every year Scooby-Doo has something. But Looney Tunes, back when it started, I feel like was just this... it must have been this crazy thing for people, because they're probably used to cartoons being, like, Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like... I've heard it compared to, like, Disney's classical music, and Looney Tunes was, like, jazz. Was just, like, crazy jazz, you know? That's what I've heard it compared to as before.
That's interesting.
So there's, you know, there's Steamboat Willie and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then along comes Bugs Bunny, and he's this weird, sarcastic...
Wisecracking... Rabbit.
Yeah.
That likes to cross-dress.
But then, you know who's the unsung hero is Daffy Duck, because I love Daffy Duck.
So... I'm glad you brought that up. So, I would be remiss if I didn't mention one of my all-time favorite Looney Tunes. There's so many I could list, but one of my all-time favorites is Duck Amuck.
Duck Amuck. That might be the most famous Looney Tune.
It is.
Well, one of them.
It is just absolutely perfection.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you come up with that idea, but man, it is just brilliant. And it used to be, for the longest time, because we've got all of them still on DVD, if I was feeling a little sick or you know, someone had a bad day, you know, we need a laugh, we'd pop in that disc and we would just watch Duck Amuck, and everyone would just laugh at me, just lose it, because I was just, the minute he loses his voice and all those weird sounds start coming out, you know, car horns and jungle sounds, I just lose it. I lose it every time. It's absolutely just, it is. It's perfection.
Now, I should say I'm a little biased because I'm a duck guy.
You are a duck guy, sure.
I love cartoon ducks.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that will probably come out along the way through this podcast when we talk about certain topics. So Daffy Duck is a favorite of mine. I also like Porky Pig a lot. I think he was the first Looney Tune, maybe. Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
I believe that could be right.
But he was the first famous one.
I mean. Yeah.
So I really like him. Bugs Bunny's great. Elmer Fudd. They just have a cast.
Yeah.
That's just amazing. And you can get... And that, I like ensemble casts.
Yeah.
So, because you can get more stories out of them that way.
Mm-hmm. And then pairing them in different ways. It's always neat to see who you pair them up with and how much fun they have. You know, the spooky theme, the one where Porky Pig rents the hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got those, the mice that are murderous.
Yeah.
And Sylvester's trying to keep him safe. That one's a good one.
It's great because even though some of these cartoons came out all the way in the 40s, they're still making us laugh today. Yeah. So you got to wonder, like, what was it that they captured
Look, I have been described as being a little bit warped, so so I just, you know, it's the whole Three Stooges syndrome, yeah. right? You know, you've just got this wacky, zany violence
yeah.
that you know you can't do. You know, you can't fall off a cliff,
right?
And or you can't hit someone, you know, with a frying pan and not cause them, you know, some serious damage. But it's just that goofy, unrealistic violence mixed with, I think the music helps.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Helps amplify it. Anyone who's says they don't like classical music, if you like watching Looney Tunes, then you like classical music, right? I think you just mix that all together, and it's fun. And the character, and look, Mel Blanc
yeah.
is an absolute man amongst men.
A man with a thousand voices.
Oh my gosh. So, I mean, does it work as well? Because let me tell you, if you listen to some of the old Bugs Bunny when Mel's not doing the voice of him, yeah. and you're just kind of like, no, I'll go ahead and skip this right. one. But, I mean, once he's in there and he's hitting all the voices, it's absolutely absurd. Rabbit of Seville, my gosh, yeah. that's such a great one.
It's just funny because, like, all these things came together. The writing, the drawing, the voices,
mm-hmm.
the voice by one man. And it just came together and they sort of captured lightning in a bottle, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, because, like, I don't want to be disparaging, but, like, the modern Looney Tunes just aren't as good.
Oh, no.
They've tried. And they're just not as good. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen Space Jam 2, though, so
we could. Why do you need to? So, again, I'll talk about something very quickly that's not before the 80s. But it involves Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Looney Tunes back in action with Mr. Brendan Fraser yeah. is absolutely fantastic.
Okay.
And I'm sure I'm going to get trolled all over the place for, you know, our dozen or so listeners
yeah.
that don't agree with me. But that is such a fun movie to watch. And maybe it's just sentimentality because the kids were little when it came out, and so we watched it all the time on DVD. I mean, we still own it on DVD.
Oh.
And it's just such a good watch. Again, just shows you what kind of fun, but again, they're put in a different position, I guess. And, you know, it's got Brendan Fraser, so right. I mean,
can't
you
know, go wrong.
You can't go wrong with him and Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, so, yeah, interesting. I'll have to watch that, because I never saw
it. It is so fun.
I grew up watching Space Jam, though, and Space Jam is my jam.
Space Jam is fun. Gosh, I'm going to catch so much heat when I say this. I find it to be a little bit overrated.
Oh, wow.
I am not as big of a Space Jam fan. Maybe it's because I could care less about Michael Jordan. I mean, I will acknowledge that he is the greatest basketball player ever. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of Space Jam. I would pick Back in Action over Space Jam any day.
Do you think it's because Space Jam was... I was young when I saw Space Jam and you weren't as young?
No problem. I'm sure that has a lot to do with it.
Because you probably saw it and you were like, what?
Well, you know, yes. It just seems a little ridiculous. I get the appeal.
Yeah.
I really do. And I understand why people like it. And I will watch it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I won't watch it. Just to me, it's kind of like, you know, gosh, we could go on a tangent. If I start naming other movies I think that are overrated, then my gosh.
Maybe that's another episode. Overrated movie. But we don't want to put a target on our back, so.
No, my gosh. We got to wait that. Until, you know, we're further into the podcast.
Yeah. So we're insulated, clearly.
Yeah. We need a fan base to help, you know, raise us up above right. the masses.
Yeah. So, you were talking about music earlier.
Yes.
And when I think of cartoon music, I think of the Pink Panther.
Oh, my gosh.
That timeless jazz kind of yes. Henry Mancini.
Yes.
Was that Henry Mancini?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think of the Pink Panther. And the Pink Panther, probably one of the coolest cartoon characters.
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that you have no dialogue.
Exactly.
It's all, oh, my gosh. I had totally forgotten about the Pink Panther. Yeah. I did not have that in any of my talking points. Good on you.
Yeah, I was... Well, I really like... I mean, I think it's another thing where I was young and the color popped out at me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's obviously pink.
Yeah.
But I think that really, and yeah, like, and it's so unique because he doesn't talk. It's all action for him. And they've done some comics where the color really attracted me to them and everything. So, yeah, but that music is just, I wish we could play it.
Oh, my gosh. yeah, it is so good. Now, didn't some of the Pink Panther cartoons have little shorts that played with them that had, like, an anteater?
Yes, an anteater.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember those as well, but now that you... Yeah, it was like a blue anteater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you mention it. That was just a very colorful cartoon.
It was. Oh, my gosh.
And what was the guy's name that was, like, the Pink Panther's nemesis?
Oh, my gosh.
Did he have a name?
I'm not sure if he ever did. Obviously, we were led to believe that that was Inspector Clouseau later on, right, with the movies. But I don't know in the cartoons that... that he ever had a name.
Yeah, I always thought that it was Clouseau, but I'm Googling it right now.
Okay, we're going to find out. So you've got Pink Panther. We've talked about... So what are your feelings on some of the later Hanna-Barbera, like the Jetsons and Flintstones then?
Well, right here, just for the record,
yeah,
there's a character called Big Nose. And then there is Inspector Clouseau. And the, oh, he's an aardvark, not an anteater.
Same thing.
This is... Oh, is it really?
Yes.
Holy crap, this whole... Wow! 30 years! 30 years I didn't know that. This is, says the Inspector, so it's probably just the Inspector in the cartoons, and then
gotcha.
He becomes Inspector Clouseau. Jetsons and Flintstones. I was always more of a Flintstones guy.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked to see how they used dinosaurs and stuff as modern day appliances. I thought that was really funny.
Yes.
And I think the Jetsons for me was just a little bit like, oh, this is just the Flintstones in space.
Yes. Agreed.
But that's just me, you know, yeah. I don't know.
No, I've always enjoyed the Flintstones more than the Jetsons. Jetsons were okay and I would watch them, but yeah, it was just like, oh, okay. They went to space.
Well, I think it also comes down to I like Fred more than I like George Jetson.
Oh.
Fred Flintstone I think is a better character.
Yes.
And he also wears orange. So as a kid, I was like, wow.
And do you think too, and I'm sure that maybe they didn't have a best buddy because they didn't want to completely.
Right.
But having the Barney Rubble.
Correct.
Tangent helps, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that brings in, you've got your comic fail there, or foil, to Fred's, you know, straight act.
Right.
If you will.
That's a good point.
And George didn't have that. And... So, I don't know. Yeah, the Flintstones, I think Wilma and Betty were more developed. I don't know. Judy was okay, and the kids were all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was so much, and look, I'm pretty sure the Flintstones ran much longer than the Jetsons did, right?
I don't know.
But, you know, here's how you know the Jetsons aren't as good as the Flintstones. They didn't make a live-action Jetsons movie.
That's true.
John Goodman.
The great John Goodman.
Yeah, John Goodman didn't play George Jetson.
And Rick Moranis.
Yes.
Was Barney.
Yes, he was.
That was a great movie. And Kyle MacLachlan was the bad guy.
Yeah.
Right around the Twin Peaks time,
too. I saw that in the theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had to wait till it was on VHS.
Yeah. VHS, look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. But,
yeah, Flintstones, and I think that they were more creative because they had to put themselves in these situations and, like, they didn't have technology to rely on.
Yeah.
So I think the writing was just a little bit funnier. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Plus, there seemed, obviously, you know, how many rock puns can we put on people's names, right? Yeah,
right.
So that was always fun to see how they would do that. And the Flintstones, again, they don't have as much of a presence now.
Right.
But, I mean, they've still done some things. They had the live-action movies in the 90s. But, I mean, people are still aware of them. So, I definitely think that they're much more enjoyable than the Jetsons, too.
Well, you know what else? Flintstones had Yabba Dabba Doo.
Yeah.
And what did George Jetson have?
He had nothing.
Nothing. Now, I'm going to say this. I think you read it. But there's a line of Flintstone comics by Mark Russell.
Yes.
From maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Yes. Fantastic.
Amazing comic. You would not think that the Flintstones would be any good as a comic. Honestly, one of the best comics I've read in the last 10 years.
Yes. It was a great run.
It's a DC comic. It's only like 12 issues or something, if that. Maybe 10 issues. Definitely go check it out if you can find it.
Oh, that was so good.
It's so funny. It's so modernized.
Mm-hmm.
It's... And it's not like cartoon art. It's like really realistic art.
No, so. That's the thing. I mean, yeah, Fred Flintstone did not look...
He didn't look like
Fred anything Flintstone, like the cartoon. He looked like what a guy...
What a caveman would look like.
Would have looked like, yes. Yeah. It was great.
So they did the same thing with Snagglepuss, or Snaggletooth. No, which...
Snagglepuss.
Yeah, they did the same thing with Snagglepuss, where he was a playwright in the 50s.
Yes.
That is an amazing series, too.
Well, I mean, and look, so DC did all of those crossovers a few years back, where you had Jonah Hex with Yosemite Sam, you had Batman with Elmer Fudd, you had Duck Dodgers with, oh my gosh, who was he with?
Martian Manhunter? No, that was Martian, that was...
Oh, yeah, I don't remember who Duck Dodgers was with. Oh, that's terrible. Bugs Bunny was with Superman in the Legion of Superheroes. Wonder Woman was with the Tasmanian Devil.
Yeah.
I mean, and those crossovers were great. I mean, absolutely fantastic. And in them, did you read all of them?
I think I did.
What I loved was that you had, at least in maybe the second volume of them, you had, you know, the realistic, gritty comic art that you know today. And then in the second part of the book, you had the cartoony, right, you know, what you would envision those characters, what you always remember them looking like. And so those were just great reads. Like that, the Batman and Elmer Fudd one was a great read.
Yeah, if you have Comixology or something, look up the DC Looney Tunes crossovers. They are... Warner Brothers does some crazy things sometimes.
Yeah.
So, and I love it. Yeah. So, but yeah, so... you know which one I forgot to talk about completely, and this is like before, this is the same time probably as Looney Tunes, Popeye.
Oh, Popeye from the
40s, right?
Yes.
Now, I wouldn't be who I am today without the Popeye comics.
Yes.
Those really showed me the power of the format of comic strips. So the cartoon is just, I can hear that cartoon so clearly in my head because of his voice. But that was always a fun one and a violent one, so more fun to it.
Well, and they got so, and some of them were just so far out there, right?
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing. Bluto's a great villain.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand why Popeye kept risking his neck over olive oil. Boy, she got him into some trouble.
She did, but I don't know. Love makes us do funny things.
It's your time. There we go. Quote of the week.
Quote of the week. Yeah, I haven't seen too many Popeye cartoons. I started watching them, and like, I was going through a phase where I was rewatching Full House, and Joey from Full House does a lot of Popeye impressions.
Yes.
So I was kind of like, I'm gonna watch Popeye, but then I kind of fell off. So, but it's one of those early cartoons that, because Popeye the comic strip was around since like, I don't think Popeye was introduced until 1929 or something, or. There was a 9 in it. It was either 29 or 19. I can't remember. I think it was 29. So that's not a long, super long time. But that comic had already been going on for like 10 years. So that must be what it was. It must have started in 1919. He was introduced 10 years later. I mean, can you imagine that? Like having a comic that's not about Popeye and then like you run it for 10 years and you just introduce this side character and it becomes...
Right.
Popeye the Sailor Man.
It's... Absolutely ridiculous.
Because there would not be a cartoon without Popeye.
No.
I'm sorry, Castor Oil, but there's no cartoon for Castor Oil.
Oh my gosh. How did we not talk about this guy? Yogi Bear.
Now, confirm this for me.
Uh-huh.
I heard he's smarter than the average bear.
You know what? There are some rumors that point to that. He's definitely smarter than Ranger Smith.
Yeah.
So
here's a fun fact for you. When I was a kid... I definitely thought Yogi Bear and Yogi Berra were the same person. Oh. So I was like, why does Yogi Bear have these weird quotes?
It ain't over till it's over.
I was like, what's he talking about? Like, lunch?
Oh my gosh, that is too funny.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty young, but still.
Well, you did just find out that an anteater and an aardvark are the same thing, so. Well.
So I don't have an excuse for that one. But, yeah, Yogi Bear was cool.
Yogi Bear was cool. You know, obviously Boo Boo helps, right? It's kind of funny because, you know, looking back, and I've watched some of those more recently, and I don't think I like them quite as much as some of the other cartoons nowadays. Like, I could still watch Quick Draw McGraw or Huckleberry Hound any day of the week.
I was going to ask you, as a quick aside, about Quick Draw McGraw, because it's the Western-themed one.
Correct.
So how do you feel about that? You must have loved that.
Oh, loved it. Absolutely loved it. And what was his alter ego?
El Cabong.
El Cabong. It was absolutely great. Except for, obviously, you know, did he ever actually shoot a gun? I'm trying to remember now. I don't think,
probably not.
Yeah.
I bet not.
Kind of hard with the hooves, right. I'm sure. You know, he was great. You had Secret Squirrel was another good one.
And Morocco Mole was my favorite.
Yes. And, you know, we've done all this, and we've not talked about any of the superhero cartoons that were out before the 80s. You had Spider-Man from the 60s?
That's the one that originated the meme, right?
Yes. Where they're all pointing at each other. And, of course, you had Super Friends, which was great. Of course, you watch it now. It's so funny to watch that versus, like, Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, wow, okay. That was a different time. We've got some new stories to tell.
Yeah. I don't know that I ever watched Super Friends, really.
Oh, I've got some on DVD. Okay. Yeah.
Because I was it was kind of, like, looked on as lame.
Well, and it is. But you've got the voice, right? You know, meanwhile, right. At the Hall of Justice.
That's kind of still in pop culture.
Exactly.
Consciousness, so.
It's just Green Lantern was such a, I don't know, they did not do him justice in that.
You think about Green Lantern, poor Aquaman.
Aquaman was an absolute joke. Oh my God.
That's bad for him. That did like decades of damage
to his reputation. Yes, everyone's image of Aquaman is based off of that.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, oh, he's useless to this and that. He's sitting there talking to fish. It's like, come on.
Yeah. That's why I liked Hanna-Barbera's take on superheroes, like when they did Dynamite and Blue Falcon, because he's clearly Batman,
yeah,
but with a robotic dog, and the Impossibles from Frankenstein Jr.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, there was a summer where I was like really obsessed with Hanna-Barbera cartoons, so I was like, and I'm obviously into superheroes, so the, you know, the middle of the road where they met, I was like, whoa, this is great. And, like, Hanna-Barbera's great. Their superheroes were obviously a lot less serious.
Yeah.
I mean, just look at Hong Kong Phooey. He never really stopped a criminal. It was always Spot.
Oh, yeah.
That stopped a criminal, cat. But that's, you gotta love him, so.
Yeah. Oh, now, did you ever watch any of the old Fantastic Four or Captain America cartoons?
I didn't even know there was an old Captain America cartoon.
So I remember watching them, and maybe this is going to be a Mandela effect. Oh. I don't know. We'll see if we can get one started. But I can vividly remember watching on USA Network the Fantastic Four and the Captain America cartoons. And one of them, I'm not sure which one, but one of them was almost like a motion comic cartoon. Oh. Like, it wasn't, they didn't have animated action. But the Captain America, I'm almost positive, is real, because that's where you get the theme song when Captain America throws his mighty shield. Those who oppose the shield must yield. And then it just goes on. And I'm pretty sure that's the one that was like a motion comic. It was just ridiculous. And then the Fantastic Four one, from around the same time, I think, was just... It was just ridiculous. Like, you know, they tried to do kind of like with Super Friends, you try to have these, you know, these superheroes, but then they tried to make it so kid-friendly that they were just ridiculous, and the animation was just a joke. And it's like, why can't you guys do like what Looney Tunes does, right, or Tom and Jerry? I mean, they're bonking each other, they're doing this and that, and these comics were just so laughable. But I still sat and watched them. I mean, you know.
Well, that's the thing about being a kid. You don't really matter. Doesn't matter how bad something is.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, it's kind of entertaining.
Something to pass the time. Why not?
Yeah. You know what we haven't talked about?
Kind of like having a podcast.
Just like it. Saturday morning podcast.
There we go.
On Wednesdays.
On Wednesdays.
You know what we haven't talked about, though?
Yes.
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Rocky and Bullwinkle was kind of... They weren't Hanna-Barbera. They had their own kind of universe.
Mm-hmm.
They had Peabody and Sherman.
Yep.
And Boris and Natasha. And there was another one that was on...
Did Dudley Do-Right?
Yes, Dudley Do-Right.
He was part of all that. Yes.
Yeah.
Another Brendan Fraser movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
man.
Which he was also in George of the Jungle, which was
a cartoon. He was George of the Jungle, which is... You know what? There we go. We got to have a world of Brendan Fraser.
Wow. Confirmed.
Can we get him on the show?
Can we get him on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I mean, although he's having a career renaissance.
He is, so it might be a
hard get. It might be a little bit harder to get.
It's going to be a hard get, yeah.
I don't know, though. He seems like a really nice guy, so maybe he'll...
Who knows?
Maybe he can become what they call a friend of the show.
Ooh, there we go.
But yeah, so Rocky and Bullwinkle was always fun, because Bullwinkle was the moose, right?
Yes.
Okay, and he was kind of dumb.
He was... Hey, Rocky. Yeah.
But he was also like a magician.
He was a magician, which is not dumb.
No, there's nothing dumb about magic.
No.
Because I don't want to get cursed.
Exactly.
But Rocky and Bullwinkle was a lot of fun, and they had that weird movie with Robert De Niro in it.
Yes.
That I definitely liked as a kid.
Oh my gosh. Who played Natasha in that?
I don't know. Was it anybody recognizable?
My golly, I had forgotten they'd done a live action on that. How did they do the moose? Because
he was like CGI.
They were both CGI, right?
Rene Russo.
Oh, wow. My gosh. There we go.
Yeah, they were both CGI.
They didn't get a real squirrel.
But they were like... maybe they were like more cel-shaded on here. I can't really tell.
Oh, wow.
Maybe they weren't 3D.
For those at home, wow. I'm looking at pictures of production photos of Rocky and Bullwinkle right
Jason
now.
Jason Alexander was in it, too.
Oh, wow.
He was Boris.
He was...
And Robert De Niro's fearless leader. I definitely saw that one in theaters.
So was that post Seinfeld?
Definitely, because that was like early 2000s.
He was running out of his royalty money.
he thought it was just another Seinfeld episode.
Jerry was getting all the residual money, so he needed something else.
He thought Jerry was in a moose costume for 2 hours. Didn't understand what was going on.
Wow. How did this become a bash Jason Alexander show?
I don't know. We just kind of... This whole episode has been stream of consciousness for me, so... And we haven't even talked about Disney cartoons, really.
No,
we did.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm a duck guy, so I like Donald Duck and...
Oh, those shorts were great. Yeah. Yeah, all of those were awesome.
And we have to kind of talk about Steamboat Willie, because that kind of launched animation, didn't it? In America, anyway.
Yeah, started everything, right?
Yeah.
How do you figure out, and I'm sure I know there's a documentary, I've never watched it, but the whole, what thought process is there that, hey, I think if I put all this together, I can turn this into a show.
Yeah.
Right? A little, and I'm sure that we'll find out that someone will tell me, oh, you know, an ancient Oriental, you know, or... Chinese magicians use this method to, you know, tell stories. But what makes you come up with that?
I don't know. I guess that's why he was Walt Disney and we're not.
This is true. Yeah.
So I don't know, but that, and you know, those were like theatrical shorts, weren't they?
Yeah.
So
were Looney Tunes,
right?
So were
Looney Tunes, though.
I mean, that's how they all start, is they Now, were they played before the movie, or was it intermission, or...
I always thought it was before the movie.
Kind of like, since previews didn't exist, you'd watch a little cartoon.
There were no AMC stubs back then.
There were no stubs? You didn't have quizzes before the movie?
I missed those quizzes.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, I mean, see, you just... And obviously, you play it, and I don't know, but I would assume that same short played for quite a while.
Probably, yeah.
The theater probably just had it and played it before a bunch of different movies. And then there's no pressure to just start cranking these out.
Yeah.
Right? And then all of a sudden, you find a new audience for them and you start airing them on TV because you find out how to transfer them. And next thing you know, you got Mickey Mouse and the gang and Bugs and the gang just filling our TV sets and infecting a whole new generation for years to come.
And now they're on the phone.
Yeah. But you know what? Disney's got a place to go and visit. Warner Brothers does not, right?
Don't they?
No.
Don't they have Universal?
It is Universal's. Is that all the same? Universal?
Because I thought there's like a cartoon place.
There's Simpsons, I know that.
Yeah, maybe not. I thought there was a Warner Brothers place.
There could be.
Well, I don't know. Let's Google it.
Golly. Someone help us out.
We're at a loss. Brendan Fraser, help us out.
Yeah. We're going to need the Wayback Machine so we can start this episode over.
There's a Warner Brothers Movie World in Australia.
Oh, well, there you go. Who wants to go there, though?
So we're not...
Yeah. Everything in Australia wants to kill you.
We're not going there.
No.
Sorry.
No.
We're not for research or anything.
We're not going to do a on-location.
Yeah.
We're on location in Australia.
We're in Australia.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so we didn't even... I mean, this episode's pretty much over, but we didn't talk about, like, Speed Racer or Astro Boy or...
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Josie and the Pussycats. Or Josie and the Pussycats in Space, which I learned about.
Josie and the Pussycats in Space.
This is what I liked about Hanna-Barbera. By the 70s, they were just trying whatever they wanted.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I think it was maybe in the 60s, they had... 60s or early 70s, they had Josie and the Pussycats. And I was going through a list of all their stuff. And literally, like, 3 years later, Josie and the Pussycats in Space.
Well, why not?
And I'm like, man, that's brave. Like, just doing whatever you want. Huh. But at that point, they owned the 60s and the 70s, you know?
So well, it's like, it was all Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
They literally had a monopoly. It was absolutely amazing.
Now, one thing I do want to ask you.
Yes.
Because 70s and 60s cartoons are still here. But they don't have the staying power the 80s cartoons did. Because they're not getting rebooted. They're not being adapted for Netflix. Why do you think that is?
Well, one, I think it's your audience, right? That I was catching 60s and 70s cartoons in reruns.
Yeah.
But I lived the 80s cartoons, which, you know, we'll have an episode about those one day, I'm sure. So... Yeah, I remember, you know, I watched Looney Tunes and Flintstones and all that, and I absolutely love them. But, you know, my childhood was Transformers and G.I. Joe and He-Man and whatnot. So I think it's just that cycle, right? You know, it's more beneficial to go towards your Gen Xers who are now middle-aged parents, and you get them... to have their kids watch their stuff. And, you know, we'll throw in a, oh yeah, here, look at this Bugs Bunny or this and that. But, oh my gosh, this, I watched this when I was a kid. And I'm sure, you know, I mean, pick a cartoon from your childhood. I mean, would that be like, you know, Courage the Cowardly Dog or Ed, and Eddie or any of those. And so I don't know if those will have the staying power, but I'm sure there's something... You know, cat dog or whatever, that it's like, oh yeah, yeah. So I think that cycle is what will do it.
Yeah. I kind of had a different theory.
Okay.
I think it was the toys.
Well, of course. That helps, the merchandise.
So I think the merchandising created more nostalgia because you have physical objects.
Of course. I can play with it.
So I think the 80s had more permanence because there really isn't cartoons, like there really isn't Hong Kong Fooey merch. Or Quick Draw McGraw stuff, really. No. I'm sure there's, like, plushies or something somewhere.
Yeah.
But there's not...
Lunch pails.
Yeah, there's not... Hey, don't be talking about lunch boxes. I'm going to have to find the Hong Kong... That elusive Hong Kong Fooey lunchbox. But, yeah, so I think it just was, like... Yeah, we have these Transformers, we have these He-Man and everything. And the 70s just didn't do that.
No. You know?
They weren't selling toys, so...
they weren't... They were taking advantage of young children's money.
They didn't know the gold mine they were sitting on.
Yeah.
Those poor fools.
Yeah, because, I mean, you think about the 70s toys. It's Evel Knievel's, you know, set. And you did have G.I. Joes, but they weren't a cartoon then. Right. And they were completely different from what they are now. Yeah, they weren't... The toys they were making then weren't a reflection of what was out there. Now, your bigger... franchises like Looney Tunes and Disney and Flintstones, of course, you've got that. But you're right. There's something to be said about having a tangible piece of your childhood in your hand. I mean, for crying out loud, how many Optimus Primes do I have around in this loft or Darth Vader's or He-Man's? You know, I got a whole shelf of them. So, I mean, there's something to be said about that, and that's probably... lends a little bit, that's probably more valid of a reason than mine.
I don't know.
Way to one up me.
It's probably both, because I didn't think about the cycling of the ages. I just don't see, like, Dexter's Lab or Courage the Cowardly Dog or Ed and Eddy making such an impact.
You don't see Johnny Bravo coming back?
Man, you can't do Johnny Bravo anymore, I don't think.
Either way, I think we're talking about how, you know, capitalism always finds a way, right?
Just like life finds a way, but it does. This is more life powerful. Does find capitalism is more powerful. So I think in the future we're going to have an 80s episode for sure.
Absolutely. But
then we'll have to probably have a 90s episode, because now I'm thinking about all the cartoons from the 90s.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because those were my childhood, so.
Yeah. Well, and thankfully I had a dad that enjoyed cartoons as much as mine, so most of my 90s cartoons I remember, one, we already... Obviously, if you tuned in for episode one, we talked about Batman the Animated Series. But, you know, how could you talk about 90s cartoons without talking about Ren and Stimpy?
Oh,
we'll have to save that. Which you definitely could not do. Right. Today.
They tried again. Oof. And they were
oof.
Like,
what? Oof. So, but yeah. No. Good one.
Yeah. I think we've wrapped up the decades.
Absolutely. Look, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. As always... You know, give us a like on any of our socials. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Yep. And let us know, you know, what was your favorite cartoon growing up? Or if you're new to cartoons, you want any recommendations? Yeah. I mean, my gosh. But yeah, let us know. And if there's any we missed, which I'm sure there's plenty that for we sure. missed, you know, drop that in there too.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, and as always, guys, we appreciate it, and stay nerdy.